Okay, let's get this meeting started. We have a very tight agenda because we're going to be done by 7 o'clock, and I know Doug has to leave, and it sounds like several other people have to leave, so bear with me. It might go a little bit over because we do have the property and roads issue toward the end. I'm going to try to get out of here early if at all possible. In case you're not familiar, this is the public comment, or there was the public comment section that was first on here. Traditionally, we haven't done a public comment when we've done the joint sessions in different cities we've been in. So there will be a public comment at the start of our meeting, or at the end of our meeting, of the regular Board of Commissioners meeting, which follows this. So if there's anything that anybody has any problems with that, let me know. So we'll just go down through the subjects for discussion. And composting was the first. I think there was supposed to be a presentation, but...
Well, I put that on the agenda, and it's going to be very brief. I just want to hand out the timeline. Since this is going to be something that both the county and city are going to have to move forward on, since it's dealing with Council Sanitary, which has the franchise agreements at both the county and city level. Doug, on behalf of the county commissioners, and myself and Mark Salins on behalf of the city, even though Mark Salins wears the county solid waste manager hat, we've been in contact with Thompson's over the past year, along with the council members, putting together a process for public engagement and a decision process. Just to put it on the record, this Thompson's is proposing adding an additional service to their agreement, which will be composting for yard debris and food waste. They are now trying to get support from the council and the Board of Commissioners on that. So we were going through a public outreach process. The timeline's fairly self-explanatory. The newsletter is part of the packet for tonight's meeting. This was the Thompson's January newsletter, kind of going through the different issues and what the proposal is. The next step in the process will be the council is going to be having a work session with Thompson's on February 3rd. To get an update on the Thompson's survey, which was in Thompson's December newsletter. And also we'll get an update on some other additional information. This will not be a decision item on the council work session. It's just to get briefed and updated. February 18th is when the council will be holding a public forum / hearing on the program to get a more formal PowerPoint presentation from Thompson's, which they presented in the past, but they're updating it, and also to get public comment and get the public engaged as much as possible on this. After the hearing on February 18th, we're going to at that point, it's scheduled for an agenda item on March 3rd at our first regular council meeting in March as a proposed action item. And I say proposed action item because at that point, the council will have to, at that point, deliberate and decide if they want to move forward with this additional service. The reason we're on this timeline is, as Thompson's noted, and I kind of reiterated that at the very top of my email, we go through an annual rate review with Thompson's, as well as the county goes through their own process, and we need to get some decision in place before we go through the annual rate review with Thompson's, because they have to get some stuff in place with respect to additional equipment, and they need to do it sooner rather than later. So this timeline meets their objectives, and hopefully we'll meet the council's objectives in getting public outreach and engagement, and I'd like to hear from the county commissioners as to perhaps their timeline in conjunction with this, because really this isn't about discussing the substantive issues tonight. It's more about, is this timeline meet what your timeline is as far as what you have to do to get an additional service in front of for Thompson's in place?
Doug handles garbage.
He inherited it Commissioner Lindley.
Well said. I think we don't have an annual rate review process, so we're not necessarily under a deadline as far as the rate review. I think our position is that with 90% of Thompson's customers within the city, we're not in a position to be making a decision or determination on that, and so we felt it was best handled first by the city, and then depending on the outcome and the decisions and the details of your decision, we'd be in a position to take a look at it.
And thanks, Doug, but I know, and I do know that you and Wayne, on behalf of the county, have been very active in this, and I know Mark as well, being on the council and wearing his solid waste coordinator hat. So, anyways, that was the only reason I put on the agenda, Terry, is just to kind of get people on board and to see if you as a commissioner or anyone on the staff level has any questions about this timeline that the city's moving forward on.
Seeing none, any other last comments on this topic? Good, everybody on with that. Workforce housing. Bill, you're going to handle it.
Yes, sir. Okay, in follow-up to some of the discussions we've had for possible city participation in a land trust project and the request that was made to kind of step back and look at the possibilities for a larger collaboration, Community Services Consortium convened a discussion involving representatives of the land trust, Habitat for Humanity, CSC, the Community Development Corporation, and the Housing Authority of Lincoln County. I think the takeaway from that meeting is that the Land Trust is the one nonprofit or public entity in the county right now with a focus on creating home ownership opportunities for the middle-income market. Others are serving the rental market or the low-income ownership market, but Land Trust right now is the only entity that is focused on home ownership in the middle income range. So this brought it back for further discussion by the Land Trust Board, and I think there was a strong consensus, a strong desire by the board. We would like to continue this work and hopefully expand its scope. You know, all of these things that we talked about that the Land Trust has been trying to do and would like to do more of will take time. Building relationships, pursuing property acquisitions, working with local jurisdictions to see if there's the potential for collaboration on policies and plans, going after public and private funding sources, and then overseeing actual project development. And our real feeling is that if we are going to do this effectively and at the level that a lot of people envision, it would take a full-time position. And so what the board wants to develop and really hasn't gone there yet, but would like to in the coming weeks bring a proposal to City of Newport, to the County Commission, and to the City of Lincoln City to jointly fund a full-time staff position for the Land Trust. So,
any comments on this subject? And then we'll move on.
I have a question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you named two cities in the county. I mean, Walport has some people
I think
as does Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some reason they're left out?
We're going to encourage those cities have been dues-paying members of the Land Trust, and we're going to encourage them to continue that financial participation, but you know, from a realistic basis, looking at population and looking at resources, we felt that those were the three entities that had the capacity. They may not have the desire, decide it's a policy choice, but at least have the potential to collaborate in a significant way on this initiative.
You're not saying you're too low, we don't even want
it. Oh, no, we still want them at the table, but these would have to be the major partners.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
Bill, as long as you're on the roll, we do the warming center, we'll jump forward and get that out of
there. Sure, I'm happy to do that. Here's where it stands, and if you have any questions, please ask. Just about a month ago, a group of citizens interested in getting a warming center going again came together, and they approached the county, and last week the Fair Board approved a plan to once again have an emergency warming center available at the fairgrounds based on some criteria for opening in severe weather, prolonged cold, prolonged rain and wind. And Mr. Belmont has been working with them, but I think we could say we're at the stage right now, you know, they're at the stage of recruiting and training volunteers and trying to get the operating protocols tweaked and finalized. But hopefully, if we have another severe cold snap, we will have a warming center available.
How many people are in that committee that have come together?
There's a core of about four people, I think, who are really doing the heavy lifting on it.
Okay. That's great.
No other comments? Urban growth boundary, I don't know who put urban growth boundary on, would you?
Can I talk about it just maybe a little bit?
Sure, Wayne. Wayne, why don't you come up here so you can get on camera, because you're going to be here more than you think.
Thank you. I sat back here purposely, Terry. You
got a software. I like to have a lawyer right here by me.
Right here. Casey's got the camera on him. Oh, okay.
Well, all right. All right.
At least you said you like to.
The hot seat.
Wayne Belmar, County Council.
Can I move my seat now that I have an attorney next to me?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
So just to tell people where this is in the process right now, the city actually has an application in front of the county for an urban growth boundary amendment to bring into the urban growth boundary the city reservoir property, all the property the city owns around the reservoir. That has been actually... A hearing was held before the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission has come back with a recommendation to move forward with that. That will then go to the Board of Commissioners. We're going back to the Planning Commission to adopt the final recommendation with findings in the next couple of weeks to go forward. And I don't really want to talk too much about the details of that because there is a pending application, and I don't want to, since the Board will be considering it, we don't want to have any ex parte contacts on the particulars of the application, but there is an ancillary issue, I think, that we should discuss, and it's really part of the whole equation. The city's looking at, through the urban growth boundary amendment, it's really a first step in this process. The next step would be to annex that property, again, that the city owns there, into the city limits to give you more of the control that you're seeking over the watershed and the reservoir. And then the third step that we think is necessary to complete that would be the transfer of jurisdiction of Big Creek Road to the city at that point, since it'll be entirely within, at least the improved portion will be entirely within the city limits. And so we've talked about this before. In fact, I think we talked about it at our last joint meeting. And what I did was updated a memorandum I provided at the last joint meeting on the process that is entailed in transferring jurisdiction. And then wanted to craft a little agreement so we're all on the same page. One of the things we wanted to do is, you know, this is a process that it really can't really start or really occur until the property is annexed to the city. And that decision has to work through its own process. But if it does get to that point where it's annexed to the city, this would kind of set forth the manner in which the property or the road would have changed jurisdiction. And Mr. Weisman's here and can talk about any of the questions there might be about the condition of the road. Any of those kinds of questions.
I remember when we were talking last year about it, we talked about the road, and I know Terry popped up real quick. If you get it, you have to maintain it. And so obviously there might be some issues on that road, and I was hoping that Derek would look at the road and figure out, you know, what is needed or not needed.
That we probably want to talk about that road in, because there's some specific issues that we need to discuss in detail. And I don't think we really have the time to do that tonight.
No, I think what I want to do is present this out to you to say this is part of the whole process. That it doesn't just end with the urban growth boundary amendment and annexation. You know, our expectation is the whole enchilada goes forward.
Okay. David? Wayne, if we proceed along these lines, from a timeline standpoint, with the addition into the urban growth boundary and the annexation, procedurally, if everything kind of goes along smoothly, what's the time frame we're talking about here?
And including the transfer, too?
I mean, just from your standpoint, what are we looking at from a timing standpoint, including the transfer, if you want to go there as well?
And I'll do the one caveat, because we do have to look at, you know, we have to provide some stuff in terms of giving you a description of the road, doing that kind of stuff. And we want staff to look at the road. You know, our position is that the road is improved to an adequate enough standard for transfer. We have to have that discussion, though, obviously. But I think we could do this within 6 months.
Okay. The road is primarily providing access for properties that are not within the city boundary, exclusively with the exception of the reservoir. Would the county be amenable to a joint use agreement until such time as those properties came into the city?
At an interim basis now.
Well, you know, for example, when city annexes the reservoir properties into the city, that does not actually include Big Creek Road. They're outside of those parcels. And so, we had conversations about that, and that the road does provide access to parcels that are not within the city boundary. And so I'm curious to know if the county would be willing to do some sort of a joint powers agreement or joint maintenance agreement or something, so that the city's not bearing the entire brunt of the maintenance on that road, provide access for properties that are not within the city.
Well, except it does provide access to properties in the city, including your reservoir. In fact, the discussion we had with the part of the purpose behind doing the, you know, pulling that in is that you've got some ongoing plans for the reservoir. You've got some long-term plans and things that you want to do. And the only way you're going to access that, any to do anything there, is along Big Creek Road.
Well, I understand that. My point is that the only properties in the city that would be accessed by Big Creek Road is the reservoir. All the other properties are outside of the city.
I guess I disagree with that characterization, because actually the entire reservoir is accessed by Big Creek Road.
I think that's what I just said.
David?
There's like three or four properties that are privately owned along the north side of Big Creek Road.
Sure.
Yeah, and so essentially everything kind of to the north of Big Creek Road is in the county, and everything to the south of Big Creek Road is in the city. And so, you know, the city's not financially prepared to go and take over the maintenance of 1.5 miles of gravel road at this point. That's kind of where I'm going. And that's one of those things that it would be helpful to have a discussion on, is some sort of a transition period where, you know, as the city goes and annexes its properties, you know, instead of just all of a sudden the city's taking over the maintenance on the road, is maybe we can have a transition period or a joint maintenance agreement or something along those lines, so that it's not so dramatic. Because it's an expensive road to maintain, which I think is why the county would really like to have it be in the jurisdiction of the city. And it's one of those things that we, I think, are begrudgingly taking, because in the long term, best interest of the city, I think.
And I understand that, but I think philosophically, again, what you're doing is annexing the road. You're now going to have city property on both sides of the road, all the way out to the very
end.
There will be portions. No, we do understand there will be portions at the end. In fact, what I don't know exactly, one of the things we're going to have to look at, and part of the reason I said we have to look at the description, is where the end of the area that's within the urban growth boundary and the annexation is.
Let me get control of this, Wayne. Because you guys are going to get back and forth in this. There's been two other hands go up.
Sure.
Jim, was it your hand up?
I wondered if Tim had some idea. He said interim or something to that effect. So did you have some kind of a time frame for this transition in mind, or are you just talking general?
You know, because right now we're just talking about bringing the properties into the urban growth boundary, and then ultimately we would annex the properties at some point, you know. But, you know, we're in the process of doing some analysis and design on those dam structures, so this could be a period of, you know, several years.
Yeah.
Before we're prepared to really do anything.
Can I answer that real quickly?
Sure.
I'm sorry, because what the memo does talk about, it talks about both the amendment of the urban growth boundary and annexation. It would coincide with that. So my 6-month time frame for Councilor Allen was, I assumed that you were going to annex all this property as soon as the urban growth boundary amendment was approved. I thought that was the logical next step. You're not going to necessarily annex that quickly.
Eric? Yeah, I think the jury's out on that.
Okay.
We haven't finished our conversations on that. We did talk about this MOU, though, being a good next step to hammer out these types of details. And I think that it's a great concept to move forward with. And then outside of the context of the meeting, we can work out the details of some of this stuff in this document.
That sounds good.
David, that was my question. So this MOU you're proposing, we need to run it by staff and our legal counsel.
Absolutely.
So you're suggesting at some point in the future, maybe at our within the next couple regular meetings, we'll have something like this in front of us for consideration?
That's it.
Okay, that was
great.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Okay, I don't think we're going to get anything more done. Jim, I see your hand fly up, but I don't think we're going to get anything more done at this point. We've got a work schedule, so we'll go ahead and move on. The airport.
Okay, that was mine. The reason I put that on the agenda was, as you know, the city of Newport owns an airport, and it serves all of Lincoln County. It provides recreational opportunities, business opportunities, and probably the most important thing it does is provide emergency services capabilities. And currently the city owns, operates, and maintains it, and provides all those services to the county. The number four thing on our new city manager's list of things to do in the short term is to look over the airport and look over the airport management. And my question to you, the city or the county commissioners, is do you have an interest in participating with us in that airport, both in how we go forward with it, but also assuming some of the responsibility for that airport? It's a great asset. It can be made a better asset, and the more everybody contributes to it, the better chance we have of making it a success.
My initial thought would be, I think we would be, you know, see how you gentlemen feel, but at least be interested in being part of discussions about the future of the airport and whether there would be the role, a role for the county or some other entity, whether an existing entity or a new entity, to move into the management of that, if that's what you're indicating here. You know, one thing that pops to mind is immediately is the fact, you know, the county, other than roads, does not have a significant role or experience in managing infrastructure. But if we're talking about a shared authority, a new authority, I think it would be beneficial for all the reasons that you've cited for us to at least be at the table for discussion.
Doug?
My only thought would be, is this also something that would be appropriate to get port involvement in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my thought.
Yeah. That's the same thing I was going to mention.
City of Toledo, maybe, you know, because if you're envisioning, you know, maybe a regional authority or of some kind, it could take over this airport and the Toledo airport, perhaps. I mean, it's linking a lot. Oh, that's a state one.
State
okay.
Would be happy
that's
to agree true. With it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And Celeste Bay.
Okay.
So, Celeste Bay, Wakanda yeah. Beach, the state yeah. would be interested in talking to you about that.
I would imagine. If
So, I agree. I think that port districts are designed to do that and have some advantages to be able to access funds that it may be beneficial to look into a port district situation or the port, new port, no, just like the Port of Portland.
Runs. Or a new regional authority of some kind. So, I think it's, you know, it's worth exploration.
Mm-hmm. We're just starting down the road, and we just wanted to get your support.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
We're willing to be at the table. I think that could be the takeaway.
So, any last comments on this?
No.
Okay. Emergency planning preparedness. And
hi. So, did you have any specific questions that you wanted to ask me, or did you just want a quick update?
Update.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to point out to you how appreciative, as your county emergency manager, I am for the limited amount of time that you're able to designate to the two sort of co-chairs of emergency management. Both Assistant Chief Rob Murphy and Sergeant Garbarino do an outstanding job with the limited amount of time that they have given to them. And I will just throw out there, because it's my job to promote other people in emergency management, the City of Lincoln City has a halftime person for safety and emergency management. So put that in your future planning efforts, that the more that you could devote to that, then the more that we could actually do for your citizens. So that's the first thing I want to point out. But what am I doing for you? What are the county commissioners and the sheriff's office doing for you for emergency management? So a couple of things. If you don't already have on your calendar, February 13th, we are doing our Emergency Operations Center activation. It's going to be the first time in my tenure in my position we're going to fully activate our Emergency Operations Center with all the bells and whistles. And we have been asking the fire chiefs and law enforcement chiefs to hold that date for several months, because we would hope that the cities will participate with us and open your Emergency Operations Center using your new incident command folders that you've had in place for a while. You may not be familiar with them, but they're there. And so this is going to be a really great opportunity also for us to follow up from the March tsunami event that we had in 2011. We have re-looked at our after-action report and closing the loop of those items that we needed to accomplish sort of globally as a county, and then also with those individual jurisdictions, those incident command folders, getting things in place, the tsunami outreach, the signs, all the different things that we've been doing. So February 13th, look for that date. Pressure your fire and law enforcement chiefs to make sure that they're going to be fully participating, and that your city managers and council members, I would encourage you to come in and observe them during that process. And one thing I want to point out to you about that exercise, it is not to challenge us in activating our emergency operations center. It truly is for us to be able to survive the event, meaning getting all of our bells and whistles turned on, getting the folders, communicating. We have a new teleconference process, a webinar. We've got some new GIS layering with the Raptor program. And the other piece that I want to tack on to that, a couple things that we're offering to you on a regular basis, is we now have access to what's referred to as Op Center. It's an electronic emergency operations center documentation program. So you're going to be getting communications here very shortly asking what users you would like to have access to that. You'll be able to use that in your Emergency Operations Center to do resource requesting, track your process as it goes on, document your events, those ICS forms that you're required to fill out for financial reimbursement, That's all provided to you through the county's emergency management grant funding that we receive. Another one that you should be familiar with already is your continuity of operations planning, referred to as COOP. We're going to offer to you a refresher course to get your department managers up to speed, get you reinvigorated, get that COOP planning going, because it all ties in with your emergency operations center and your emergency operation plan and what you do when things aren't happening as they're supposed to. The other piece I know that we have talked about is the requirement for incident command training that all of us in the government and public safety agencies are required to do. The primary one, which is the most challenging for us to get on board, is the ICS 300 and 400. That between the two, it is a four-day course. You have a requirement that top level of your leadership and people that actually operate in your emergency operations center are required to have that training. We all have turnover, new people come on board, people retire, and so the county's working very diligently to be able to provide a course for free. Not looking so good. State and federal resources to provide those trainings is very, very limited. We're working with DPSST, Department of Public Safety and Transportation, to offer one free course. If we're lucky, the county is going to try and contract with a paid instructor to come in. By my head count, I've surveyed all the cities, all the public safety agencies. We have over 90 people in Lincoln County alone that need to take the 300 and 400 course. And those are requirements for you as a governmental agency to have when you activate an emergency response or disaster situation. Federal government sees that you've got the training, you know how to do it, standardized operation, you know how to do resource request ordering, and that when you start looking for reimbursement, they're gonna say, who is your incident commander? Do they have the training? Do they meet the general guidelines and requirements? And if you can't document that and show that, FEMA could be sort of tough on you, really pushing through some of those reimbursement requests. The last piece is I always want to promote our Citizen Alert program, which is the terminology that the citizens are used to seeing on the website. And thank you very much to the City of Newport. You guys have been very proactively posting the Citizen Alert icon on there for your citizens to click on. On the public safety side, we refer to it as Everbridge, and I just want to offer to you again as an extension that if you would like to include your city employees in that callback notification process, it's a very limited amount. Let me know if you're interested. We just do a simple mutual aid agreement with you. Your law enforcement and your fire personnel are already taken care of under our budget. We incorporate that. The way you could utilize that for your cities, if you have public works staff that you need to call back for a big water main break, it's a callback system, works very easily. You can activate it yourself. If you're in an urgent situation, you can have dispatch do that for you. So that's just another offering that we have to you through county services. And I have tons of more stuff, but I'll better
stop. Let me give you a plug for first of all. If you're not trained in the paperwork into this, and we have an emergency, you're not getting paid. So it's at the city level, the county level, and we need it. Doug went back, take a second to talk a little bit about how important it is.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go back to Maryland at the FEMA Center and say for the record that it was paid for by FEMA, not at any cost to our taxpayers locally. One of the messages that was very loud and clear is that if you're not not only documenting your expenses, but the requirements are constantly changing too. I think one of the examples was people were listing the vehicles that they were using in a disaster, and then FEMA came back and said, well, we need the VIN numbers. And so in order to get reimbursed from FEMA, yeah, you had to track the vehicles, but you hadn't tracked the VIN numbers.
They were for volunteers.
Pardon me?
For volunteers.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Anyhow, so again, accurate tracking, knowing what has to be tracked is critical to get reimbursement.
That leads to the question, not a question I had, but a thing that came up in a conversation that Mark and I had, and it has to do with emergencies. When the big one occurs, we know it's going to happen. 37% chance of happening in 50 years. And it was made clear in the meeting we were in that FEMA likes arrangements ahead of time. And the conversation that occurred pointed out that if you have lined up agreements ahead of time, that you can give FEMA the paperwork. For instance, if our county or people representing us here, and I think the county should take the leadership, has an agreement with Table Mountain Forestry, Road and Driveway, whoever, to go out and hit roads and emergency roads. Table Mountain Forestry is Bill's roads out in the woods, extra roads, to get reconnected to the valley. And I don't see this being something that's going to cost a lot of money. Your attorney, county attorney, could work something out and anticipate this. I think you'd support the fact that if you have that paperwork ahead of time and can hand it to FEMA, people are going to get paid maybe in 3 or 4 months rather than a year or two. Right. And that's in the best interest of our people here. So I would be willing to participate if we need to turn, you know. But if you have anything to add, that add it quick, because we got to keep Terry.
Well, so, so an informational item only, coming from my role as staff to the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, one of the associated pieces to the emergency operation plan, it refers to the emergency debris management plan. And part of what Dick is talking about, he is Newport's representative, as each of the cities has a representative, as does the county, which is Steve Hodge. I'm looking at Jim trying to come up with a name. And so the focus will be completing those aspects that have been outlined more recently with FEMA. We had a 2008 plan. They referred to it during a workshop a few months ago. Suffice it to say that you have a representative working on it, as do the other cities. It focuses on really the moving of the solid waste after the fact, and being all set up and contracted and whoever we might need. So that process is also going on.
David?
Following up on Dick and Mark's point, Jenny, maybe Mark and I, on behalf of the council, can get in touch with you, because one of the benefits we've been told with the compostable issue is once we have an agreement with PRC, that not only applies to composting, applies to any emergency debris that might have to be taken out of the community, and we'd have a priority over other communities. And that's been kind of sort of one of the points of a benefit regionally. So we're having a public forum on February 18th, and perhaps, maybe you don't have to be there, but maybe if we can get some more direct information from you on that issue that we can supplement that Thompson's been providing, we can have a more complete picture on that particular issue.
Sure, I'm happy to do some research.
Okay.
I had a question on the COOP plan.
Yep.
Is that in addition to what Curtis started with, the BOLD plan? Is it the same?
So, yeah, same contract.
Same, okay.
Yeah, and it...
Mm-hmm. And has the city been keeping up with their...
So let's not names of any city or any county.
Okay.
Now guess what? We're all probably at the same starting point of refresher, reinvigorating, and now you're going to have Jenny pushing you every single year to go farther.
Okay, great.
The last thing I'd like to remind the city about is I know that your emergency operations plan is coming up. You're required to review it every 5 years. Yours is in 2010. We're in 2014. And I know we were able to secure Homeland Security grant funds in the amount of $16,000 to have the contractor reinvigorate our plan with stakeholders. So you really need to have that on your radar in the next 24 months, that either you allocate funding for a contractor, you get a Homeland Security grant, or you find somebody in your city, you're going to designate a lot of man hours to sit down and review that plan. So really think about the future, getting a Homeland Security grant, letting the contractor do the bulk of the work for you with your stakeholder input. You're in your 24-month window, so you need to be thinking about that.
Well, since the county writes that grant, well, I would hope that they would put
you
it in.
You write your own grant.
You had a comment back there?
I just wanted to thank Jenny for all her energy. Obviously, she's an energetic person.
But, that's putting it mildly.
She does do a great job of keeping us well-informed, keeping us motivated, and poking at us on a regular basis. And with our people who have emergency preparedness as a piece of their job, it's really nice to have the resource of Jenny.
I agree 100%. One of the things, if we do get the ICS training, we'll figure out some way to make it happen.
Oh, we've got to figure it out.
We've got to figure it out?
I've already got to figure it out.
Okay, that's good enough. But when you're... how much did it cost us? but when it happens, it's up to us to make sure the critical staff from our communities get there. So, and that includes us for that to be involved. So, as... public representatives, I'm giving you a challenge to make sure that we don't have 90 people that need it. We only have zero.
And I'm hoping within between now and the middle of June, we'll be able to get two classes hosted. And if you don't catch these classes, I'm probably not going to be able to get another class here for another 12 to 24 months, nothing funded free. And you're going to have to send your people to the Valley, which is going to incur mileage, food, and lodging. So.
Okay. EMS training. You go ahead and just keep right on going.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know,
EMS transport assist.
Our transport.
Mr. Belmont. I thought you were going to take the lead on that.
Well, yeah, yeah. I'll talk about that. How's that? Well, she does have a lot. EMS transport, I guess I can talk about that right now. The county is, of course, the entity which assigns the ambulance service areas for EMS transport. And we have been having a lot of discussions over the course of the last 6 months with the current providers and the of ambulance services. We've been meeting individually with them in hopes of updating our current plan and our current ordinance that deals with this. And in that context, Commissioner Hall, myself, my assistant Kristen Mule, and I have met with each of the fire chiefs, except at this point Celeste, one-on-one to talk about things that are working for them in the provision of ambulance services and issues that they see forthcoming. And that's been very productive, and I'd like to thank Chief Page because we had our meeting with him and he provided some great input. We've expanded just beyond that, too. Now, obviously, we've got a major ambulance service provider who's a private provider here who covers actually three of the five ambulance service areas that we have in the county. And we met with the owner of that particular ambulance service and talked about his plans for the future and how and things that we could do to make things better for his provision of his services, too. The next step we're going to do, though, is really the 800-pound gorilla in the room here in the provision of ambulance services. The one thing that we see universally out there is not necessarily the provision of emergency ambulance services, but it's its interrelationship with medical transports that are occurring at our hospital. They're utilizing the same services that do the emergency stuff in a 911 situation, with also making transports from the hospital. The role of the hospital, as you're I'm sure very aware, has changed in this community, changed in Lincoln City too, as they become more integrated into the Samaritan system. A lot of the things that used to be done at the local hospital aren't necessarily done here. They may triage or deal with people up front in an emergency situation, but quite often you're seeing that and turn into a transport to another facility for further care and that. And the interplay between that transport, the non-emergency transport and emergency transport, I think is a major issue we're going to have to address as a community with the providers there. So our next big meeting is going to be with representatives from the hospital. Even though our ambulance service committee, which advises the Board of Commissioners on these issues, has a representative from the hospital hasn't been as big a player in this, and we think they're a key. And so we're going to have some discussions with them. And then we're going to take all this information back look at potential changes in our code and look at changes in the way that we deliver ambulance services and assign ambulance services. We're going to make some suggestions. We're going to go back through with all the providers out there again and say, here's what we're coming up with. What's your view on that? And in hopes of putting together a more robust system before we actually award the next set of franchises in about another year from now.
The ASRC committee, what's the state of that?
That's what I was talking about, the committee, the ASRC committee.
Well, because that's kind of how this whole process started. Originally, we were focused on looking at how that committee functioned and whether we needed to make tweaks to its structure or scope of authority, but I think it quickly broadened into looking at the ambulance ordinance itself.
So it's been more or less disbanded while you look?
It's not currently meeting, to my knowledge.
No, well, it hasn't.
It hasn't been.
No, okay. Mayor's on the
Mayor's
I'm on
the
it. Yeah, that's
right.
Why.
No, that's why. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
We didn't take any formal action to disband it, but
okay,
I guess you could say it's
it's not functioning at this point.
Okay. Hasn't been meeting.
And I guess the other element of this is, you know, we're fairly unique in that we've got a model in the South County in which actually the first responders also the ambulance services.
Right.
So the coordination of their activities is a little bit different than where it is in Newport in North County, where you actually have a private ambulance service, and then the first responders are separate from that. And I know that I'm learning a lot about the interplay between the first responders and the ambulance services and the kinds of things mm-hmm. that are necessary to make those done efficiently and coordinated. And so we hope to take that back in a better system than we currently have.
Okay.
So, Wayne, you're going to make those recommendations before you go through the next process of, mm-hmm. of taking it out for... an RFP, so to speak.
And maybe one last note is that I know you guys have been having a lot of discussion within the fire service as a whole, quite a bit of discussion about where you might work together with other fire districts. And I know that Paige has been part of that process there. And we want to leave room for continued discussions to go on there in terms of and the impact that might have in terms of how we provide these services in the future. So we're cognizant of the fact that there are those discussions that are ongoing.
And is your recommendation process including our fire department and fire chief? Because I know he and our fire officials might have some ideas about that issue.
Yes.
And I know
yes.
they brought it to the council's attention.
Yes. Wayne and I have met with him, and he and the other chiefs, as well as Samaritan and PacWest, will all be invited to that follow-up discussion.
Yes.
Say, here's our initial thinking and proposals and getting feedback before it's carried back to the full Board of Commissioners.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Wayne, we'll move on to roads and property.
And I'm going to actually combine the two of these. And actually, I think the reason this is on the agenda is those two gentlemen sitting right over there. But actually, here at Cocos, I have been talking to me in my capacity at the county about a couple of issues that had come up to the city. And when they were doing an inventory, what actually you, the city, was doing an inventory of your properties. And we found a couple of clouds on title, some issues that we're going to sit down together and try and work out. And at the same time, we have sitting next to Dara, Jim Beisman, who is our 30-plus year public works director, but also our property manager. And Jim is going to be retiring in the not-too-distant future, although I do my best to try and extend it in six-month increments. I've been fairly successful so far.
But he is
now we know that.
Don't flatter yourself.
His wife told him he had to finish the extension office before he could retire.
But, so drag out that project.
That's okay. But Jim is the institutional memory of the county on some issues. And in the course of talking to Derek about some of the things that he's looking at, some of the issues the city has, we actually did a very, very quick and dirty look at what kinds of properties does the county have inside the city limits. And also, are there other issues like the things that Derek had brought forward that maybe we could resolve in the not-too-distant future? And that they include, and I'll give you the kinds of things we sort of discovered. We want to start with a discussion with staff, kind of work out some of these things, and then bring it back to our respective governing bodies. But we think there's some properties that we want to transfer from the county to the city that are inside the city limits. And some of these are actually part of current roads that the county seems to own the underlying area that has never been dedicated as a road, but the county owns some of the underlying fee. That's an example of a kind of thing we've got here. So we've got some property that we're going to look at and discuss with you from transfers from the county to the city. Also property owned by the county. We either want to transfer it or dedicate it as right-of-way to clear up some other issues out there. We've got some separate additional right-of-way dedications that need to be made. And I'll just mention one because I'm sure I'm whetting everybody's curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
And these are, frankly, long historical issues that we're trying to get a grasp on. They just never have been resolved for many years. But one of them actually revolves around the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
In the course of our doing the master plan update, we actually surveyed the fairgrounds out there, and they're a mess, as you might imagine. So the city just undertook, I think Tim's aware of this, I know Jim's aware of it, that undertook an improvement along the edge of the fairgrounds there. Well, it turns out that's on county property. So we want to take care of that and get a transfer and a dedication of that. But at the same time, we've got a little sliver of property appears now that the city still owns. I know they intended to transfer it back in the 30s, but there's a sliver in the fairgrounds that the city still owns. It's inside the fairgrounds. So we got little things like that that we want to try and take care of.
One more. Wayne, I want to ask you a question. You've mentioned this, and it's obvious the staff is going to go forward now.
Yes.
The staffs are going to come, and they're going to bring it back to
yes.
us.
And to the council. Well, hopefully in a larger package.
We'd like right, to yeah, kind of yeah, pull together yeah. and see if we can't take some of these long-standing yeah. issues.
Yeah. So there's no use going into the specifics.
No, I wanted to talk
this time.
No, I want not. That's the only one I was going to mention.
One behind you, Terry. Thank
you. That same condition, at least on 3rd Street, exists on school district property. Is it possible to engage a school district at some level and see if we can have a conveyance for that whole?
Absolutely.
That'd be
absolutely.
Great to
you
get
that. We had actually done some things related to that at the fairgrounds before between the city yeah. and the school district and the county, and this would just maybe complete that.
We could clean up a whole
other
bunch
question,
of these. That
would timelines, be nice. Because so many times I've got involved in stuff like this and it gets stuck on the shelf and doesn't get done. I'd like to see an agreement between the city and when we're going to start seeing some of this back to our respective counties.
We started back in the 30s.
Can I suggest that I would like to have the list and the discussions and at least the elements is together before Mr. Beisman retires in June?
That's a good target.
I was targeting that towards him being around too.
I want to make sure this moves forward.
Sure. Look, this stuff never goes away. When I came here 30 years ago, I was talking to the city of Newport. So, I hate to disappoint you, yeah. but it's just one of those things.
Well, we can get rid of some of them, I think, if we move forward. Both,
yes.
If the commissioners and the city council tells them we want this as a priority to be done in a certain time frame. If you don't have a time frame, it seems like it just drags on forever.
I do want to clarify one thing, seriously, which is, when we're talking about like 3rd and the fairgrounds and roads and properties and so forth, we are talking about what are local access roads or in the city streets. We are not talking about actual county roads like Big Creek.
Right.
They are two different.
Yeah.
Well that was
this
the
is
second
separate
element.
From that process.
That's why I said property yeah. and roads, because we do have actually a couple of more situations like that where we have county roads or right of way that still exist that are within the city limits we'd like to discuss too. Now that obviously we're going to have, especially one, we're going to have some discussions about an improvement level, bringing it up to a certain improvement level before we actually make the transfer and see if we can work something out there. So,
well, just following up on what Terry said, I mean, we want to move forward on this, but it seems like there's a variety of issues involved here, probably some with more priority than others. So, what I would like as a council member is not just to have, here's everything that needs to be done. Let's prioritize it as to this needs to be done before this, so at least we know kind of sequentially what it is we have to deal with. Yeah. That's much better than just being given the entire list without really any
right.
of that clarification.
I think we should do that.
Okay, that would be helpful.
Well, like Jim said, we'll never get it done, but we can put it.
Prioritize stuff.
It'd be nice to package a whole group in an omnibus package.
How many?
If we could.
I mean, how many properties?
You know, ballpark. My ballpark, we're probably talking less than 20.
Oh, that's
a piece of cake. Yeah, so it's not.
But we can still have our taco man.
There was 1930.
Someone said that 1930.
You're just repeating that.
And I don't want to overpromise here. We're not going to probably resolve everything. You're probably going to have this discussion 30 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
What are those
like
guys think here?
They thought it was a piece of cake 8 years ago. Uh-huh.
So you guys are working forward. Any comments left on this? Jim, go ahead.
Realistically, it does change and will continue to change over time, if for no other reason than that the city limits will change take in additional properties where the county may have an interest. So that's why you're never realistically never going to see the end of it.
Two different issues too. The property transfer and the right-of-way dedication are going to kind of run separately.
They will.
Parallel.
Yes, they will.
And it would be very nice to get the right-of-way dedication issue sorted out at least.
That's easier.
So too.
That's
easier. Yeah. It's a priority.
Right. So it looks like we have some walking orders for you guys. We finished the agenda. Now, is there anything that's not on the agenda that you'd like to discuss? I have one that I'd like to ask the question, and that's swimming pool. Is things moving forward in the city? I've been asked that question a few times. And
Tortiva's on, he's not, Jim. Yeah. Tim.
Jim Perthue, our Park and Rec Director, is preparing an RFP for architectural services, which is being reviewed at this time. And the architect is selected, which I imagine would be a 3 or so month process. Then the design process will begin, and you know, it's going to be, I think, a couple year process to design, bid, and start construction, you know. So we're in the very beginning stages, and by the beginning of summer, we'll have an architect selected and begin the design process.
Yeah, and the money's in hand. Bonds have been issued.
Money's right.
I've just been asked a question by a few people, and I didn't know, and I figured it's a good opportunity to ask you guys what's going on. Yeah, any other subjects you'd like to talk about? Why we've got a couple of minutes? Not, I'll adjourn this sucker. Okay, meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
If you want to pool by the courthouse, I'll run up to Fred Meyer and buy a little bottle.
I got a rubber ducky too.